John chapter 19, we're really looking at one verse together, and we're preaching verse by verse through this book of the Word of God. The Gospel of John is the book in the Bible that shows Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and we are in the scene of Christ on the cross. If you know your Bible, He spoke seven different sayings from that cross. We're looking at one of them this morning in the text, John chapter 19. And verse 30, would you look at it with me together? The Bible says, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. Small verse, but your eternity depends upon that verse. I want you to notice in the text, the Bible says He said, "It is finished," and He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. I want you to understand that Jesus Christ didn't die until He was finished. You know, a lot of people die before they get finished. Jesus Christ also did not bow His head. We see that in the text. He bowed His head, but He didn't bow His head until He was finished. The scene that's often painted and described about the crucifixion of Christ with His head down just somberly and in pain and agony on the cross, Jesus Christ did not bow His head till He was finished. He held His head up high. That's how we know that He was such the victor. And this is not a cry of tragedy in this verse. It's a cry of victory. And I don't know anybody that could hold their head up through 6 hours on the cross, but the Lord Jesus Christ did, and His head was not bowed until He was finished. He didn't, the Bible tells us in this verse, He gave up the ghost, but He didn't give up. He didn't give up till He was finished. He never gave up the ghost until everything that He was supposed to do was accomplished. Now, if you've read the other Gospels, you will find this in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and you'll find a saying like this: when He had cried with a loud voice. I don't think that everything Jesus said in those seven sayings on the cross were necessarily loud or a great cry. But I think some of it may have been rather soft in the words that He spoke to His mother, as we saw before, as she was standing by the cross. But this is a loud cry. It's not just Jesus hanging on the cross and He says, "It is finished," and He puts His head down. He cries with a loud voice, "It is finished," so that everybody will know in such power. I tell you what, you hang on a cross for 6 hours and you are a bloody mess and most of the blood's out of your body and you're dehydrated and you've been tortured for that long and even before the cross. You don't cry with a victor's cry. You don't cry with confidence. You don't cry with power unless you're somebody like the Lord Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all of God's plan and all of God's will and offered something to you and I. He said that for our benefit, to know that He was finished. It is finished. When I think about this phrase, "it is finished," immediately I want to say, what's it? Isn't that an obvious question? What is finished? What have You finished, Lord? And as I thought about that and let it roll over in my mind through other verses of Scripture, I think we can come up with a lot of different things that Jesus finished when He cried this cry. The first thing I want to call your attention to, I want you to think about, He finished His earthly life. His earthly life is over. And He crosses the finish line. You know, so many people die before they should die. You have seen that. You know, the Bible tells very plainly, you can lengthen your days and you can shorten your days. The Bible does say it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. But your life can stop before God wanted it to stop. There are so many people in the Bible whom the Lord snuffed out their life in judgment and they didn't finish. And Jesus finished all that He was supposed to finish. His earthly life came to a close and He's going to finish it with joy. The reason I say finish it with joy, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us this, that He endured the cross and He despised the shame. But the Bible said that there was joy set before Him. He doesn't finish in discouragement. You would think that if your mother has to watch you die and only one of your disciples is there at the cross. People are screaming at you and mocking you and deriding you and blaspheming you and various and sundry things. Just a hateful crowd. You think of all his life and ministry, he would have been discouraged. But he wasn't discouraged, you know why? Because he finished his life just like God wanted him to finish his life. And this is my question to you. How are you going to finish your life? You know, so many people don't finish their lives like they thought they'd finish their lives. You know, so many people don't finish their lives like they started. Now, I've never been a runner. You can tell by looking at me, I'm not a marathon runner. I don't like to do that. I mean, I'll fish, I'll play sports, I'll, you know, do hunt and all that. But just running, just to run, I've just never been into that. But, you know, you can take off in a race and you can get out ahead real fast. But we've all heard the nursery rhyme story about the turtle and the hare, haven't we? It's not necessarily how you come out of that box. It's not necessarily how you start your race of life. The question is, how are you going to finish? How are you going to finish your life? It's not even a question many times of what the middle part of that race is. You know, I've known a lot of people. Look, I almost 30 years now, I've been in full-time ministry and I've watched people. And I've watched some people start really well. And I've watched other people even have more character and longevity, and the middle part of their life has gone well. What I mean by going well, I'm not talking about the absence of problems. I'm not talking about, because life is full of problems, however you are. I'm talking about a life that has run well is a life that is run in the will of God, you see. A life that is pleasing God. And I've watched this. I've watched people start off well. And by the way, let me tell you this. If you've never been saved this morning, your life hasn't even started. Jesus Christ said this, I'm come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Life's not found in a bottle. Life's not found in human relationships. Life is not found in getting all the fun you can get out of life. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have a life. But I've even watched some people that have come to Christ and received Him as their Savior. And boy, they kicked out of that box of life and they're running fast and hard. And then something happened. Knocked them out of the race. Or they fell down. Or they started looking around. You know, if you're running a race, if you're looking at other people, you know what's going to happen? You're going to fall flat on your nose. I've never been a marathon runner, but I know this much about it. You've got to keep your eyes straight ahead. I mean, if you're running with all your might, sometimes I laugh, you know, I'm watching some of college football, and have you seen people just stumble over themselves? There wasn't anybody there. They just like they just fell out because they were looking the wrong way. And they fell down because they weren't looking straight ahead. You know, if you're going to finish well in your life, you've got to look straight ahead. You've got to look to Jesus Christ. You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 12? He says that He is the author and finisher of our faith. Here's the truth this morning, ladies and gentlemen. None of us can finish well without Jesus Christ. We've got to look to Him. And I've seen in 30 years such tragedies that would break the heart of a hardened sailor as people go through life and then something happens and their life is ruined and they don't finish their life like they started their life. And they couldn't come to the end of their last breath like Jesus and say, it is finished. You say, well, certainly only Jesus could say that. Oh, no, my friend. I'll give you to your recollection, Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul, who wrote so many of those epistles to the church, he said that I might finish my course with joy. That's what he told the Ephesians. And by the way, let me tell you this. You know, God just doesn't want you to finish your life and do what's right to the very end. God wants you to do it with joy. Amen. There is something wrong with a Christian who's trying to do right, but there's no joy in their life. You're missing the boat because there's joy in Jesus. That doesn't mean that there's not burdens that we have to bear, but there's joy in Jesus. And with all that was on Paul's heart, he says, I want to finish my course. I want my life to finish well, and I want to finish with joy. You know how many people don't finish their lives in joy? You know how many people right now, tonight, are in some nursing home bed or hospital bed or about to finish their life in some other place? And they're finishing in bitterness. And they're finishing it in regret. And they're finishing their lives in anger. and they come to the end of their life and there's not joy and gladness. Hey, my life's about over. I'm going to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. There's just shame. There are thoughts about of wanting to hold on, of not being ready to meet God. I'm just asking this morning, a lot of times people live their lives like your life is never going to stop. One day your life is going to stop. How are you going to finish? Will it be with your head high saying, Lord, I finished what you want me to do? Paul said, my prayer was that I'd finish my course with joy. And you know what he said in 2 Timothy as he did finish his life? He says, I fought a good fight. Listen now. I finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, we live in a generation of ruined lives. We live in a generation where people quit doing right, quit doing what God wants them to do, fall out with their closeness and fellowship with the Lord. But that doesn't have to be you. You can finish your earthly life with joy. You can finish all the things God wants you to do. And you can finish at the end without all the regrets that people have in their lives today. But you're going to have to wrap yourself up in the life of this one who said it is finished. The Bible says that he says it's finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You know, Jesus dismissed his spirit. The other saying there that's not recorded in John is when Jesus says on the cross, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. You've never heard of anybody that had the power to dismiss their spirit and their soul from their body, but Jesus did because he was God in the flesh. He was the Savior of men. And he had that power. No man took his life from him. He gave it. No one stole. It wasn't the nails that killed him. It wasn't the crown of thorns. It wasn't the loss of blood in his body. You know, nobody ever died in the presence of Jesus Christ. Nobody ever died because he's life incarnate. He is the life. He was the one, the Bible says, by him all things were created. All things that were made by him, the Bible says. He was the life. And that life was the light of men. Nobody died in the presence of Jesus. Even these two men that are crucified with him. You know what? He had to die first before they could die. As long as Jesus was there, nobody's dying. And he had to dismiss his spirit. I just ask you, if today, now think about it with me now. Because here's what so many people do say, I got some things in my life I got to get right. No, I wouldn't want to stop right now because, man, I wouldn't finish well. If I had to meet Jesus Christ right now, if I had to stand before God right now, man, my life has not finished well. I'm reminding you, listen now, your life could end at any minute. You say, well, preacher, I don't have cancer that I know of, and I don't have any disease, and I feel pretty healthy, and I'm young. I'm not way on up in age. Have you noticed? It's not just old people that die. People die every day. How many people, I wonder, died today that didn't think they were going to die today? You say, preacher, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to get you to think. You have got a race to run, and how are you going to finish? You may not be able to get all your house in order before your finishing day comes. Jesus says, it is finished. What was finished? His earthly life. I see something else. When he said, it is finished, would you go back just a little bit with me to John chapter 4. Let's look at this phrase finished in the Gospel of John as Jesus uses it about himself. There's something else Jesus finished. John chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 34, would you look at it? And the Lord is speaking. John 4 and verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Look at chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 36. John 5 verse 36. Jesus says again, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. He uses that word again. Would you look one more time? John chapter 17. John chapter 17. The Bible says in John 17 in verse 4, Jesus speaking again. John 17, 4. He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I say, secondly, Jesus Christ not only finished his earthly life, but Jesus Christ finished the work that the Father gave him to do. You know, I'm not a painter. Anybody in here a painter? Anybody like to paint in here? See, we've got very artistic people here, aren't you? You know, you take a canvas and they start to paint on that. Well, what if, you know, an artist is very particular. He wants to get he or she wants to get that last stroke in so it's just perfect. If that artist stops in the middle of that painting, or if the artist stops before all the strokes are put, the painting isn't complete. It's not finished. Same with a sculptor. If somebody is doing a work of pottery or sculpture or something like that, I mean, they're not going to leave the end of it off. They're not going to not complete the work. It'd be like a builder. That would be more to our understanding. When we lived in Romania, it was the craziest thing. We'd drive down the road and you'd see half-finished houses everywhere. They would start to build, but they never would finish them. They ran out of money or something happened. I don't know. But, I mean, there were more unfinished houses than there were finished houses. Everybody would start them, but they would never finish them, seemingly. You know, that's the way some people's lives are. Look, if you're saved by the grace of God, listen to this. God has a work for you to do. There's a purpose for your life. Your life is not to punch a clock. I mean, what kind of existence would that be if your life was just the summation of your job? I see a couple people shaking their head. Man, if my life's meaning is my job. It's got to be more than that. Your life is more about is more than just about paying your bills. Your life is more about just seeing your family grow up and leave the house. If you're saved by the grace of God, God has a work for you to do. He has a purpose for you to do. I don't know what that purpose is. It'd be different for you and me. But it all points to God's work and God's purpose. You know why more work of God is not done in our world? Because there's so many people that fail to finish the work that God gave them to do. They bail out. They do their own works. Don't live your life doing your own thing. Live your life doing God's thing that He gave you to do. Jesus said, I finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. You know what I'm doing this morning? What I was born to do. I'm doing what the purpose of my life is. And I've got a job to do. I've got to finish it. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a job to do. And you need to finish that job. Don't leave any loose ends to your life. Don't leave any chapters unwritten. Let the conclusion that God's purpose for your life ring true for the glory of God. All of us usually leave something unfinished, but Jesus didn't. You know, an inventor, you know, I'm sure that when Henry Ford invented the automobile, he never dreamed that somebody would follow up and do what's happened with that invention. I'm sure when the Wright brothers took off that day and flew for the first time, I'm sure they never envisioned that somebody would take their work and improve upon it so vastly. I'm sure they didn't think about that. I'm sure that Edison never envisioned all the LEDs and all the things going on in our society with light. I'm sure he didn't ever envision that. You know, even the work of our forefathers when they established our country, how much work has gone on after they were all dead and gone to try to improve the things of this country. You know, every preacher one day is going to be through preaching. Every pastor one day is going to be through pastoring. And yet there's still so much to do. Now come here just a minute. Let me say something different about Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ finished God's work, nobody could ever improve upon it. It is finished. No preacher, no religion, not you, not myself. Nobody can improve upon what he did. He finished the work. The work of God was done. It's completed. No more chapters to be written. And all our lives just must get in harmony with the will and the work of God that He gave to Jesus Christ, that He finished Himself alone. Nothing to add. I see a third thing. I'm just giving you five. What it is finished. What is it? It is finished. What is it? I think it's His earthly life. I think it's the work of God that He gave Him to do. And number three, I think His suffering was finished. I told you, I think it was last time, how Mary was just standing by the cross and what agony and how terrible it would be to watch your son being tortured to death in front of your very eyes. And how she stood at the cross and watched that. You and I can't understand the depth of the agony of pain that Jesus had. It was not only in his physical body. As the Father turned his back upon him, he turned his face, and he said, "Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" There was such agony. And it wasn't just the nails, and it wasn't just the mocking, and it wasn't just the cruel hands of men. I don't think sometimes we understand the devil, Satan. The Bible talks about in the Old Testament the bulls of Bashan, which is a reference to the devils of hell, just beat on the Lord Jesus Christ when he became sin for us. He suffered everything on that cross. He suffered like no man has ever suffered on that cross. But when he said, "It is finished," no more suffering, no more pain, no more rejection, no more blasphemy in his face, no more cruel hands to abuse him. His suffering's finished. And I want to tell you something. The next time Jesus comes, they're not putting a crown of thorns on his head. Hallelujah. The next time he comes, there'll be nobody that stands up and smites him on the face. No, that's over. It is finished. There is no more man's doing his worst to bring pain to the Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, yes, he suffered, but the Bible said that there's glory that should follow. And the sufferings are over. And only the thing that's next on the calendar with God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, is just glory. He was exalted. God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And though men today do not give him his place, when he comes back, there'll just be glory. They'll just be the place that God intended for him to have. His suffering was finished. I want to say, fourthly, there's something else that was finished. Would you go to Romans, please? Romans chapter 10. When he said, "It is finished," his earthly life was finished. The work of the Father that God gave him was finished. His suffering now is finished. And yet the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, would you look at verse number 4? Romans 10 verse 4, the Bible says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." You know what was also finished at the cross? The law was finished, and the Old Testament sacrifices were finished. Come back just a few chapters, look at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, he describes the burial and the death of Jesus Christ in verses 1 all the way down through on verse 11 and so forth. But watch what he says, verse 14. "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." You know what Jesus Christ did when he said it is finished? He stopped that law of God that was contrary to us, and he nailed it to his cross, and he took it out of the way. The Bible said it this way in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make it himself of twain one new man, so making peace." He said it another way in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14. The Bible reads, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And then he goes on to say in verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or respect of an holy day or new moon or Sabbath day." You ever wonder why we don't do all those things in the Old Testament? Because Jesus fulfilled them and he finished them. Why don't we still offer sacrifices? Why don't we bring lambs and things to offer to God? Because the Bible said in Hebrews 9 and 10, Jesus Christ was the finishing sacrifice. He stopped all the other sacrifices. He stopped the law. Now listen. If you're here this morning and you think God will accept you because you're trying to keep the Ten Commandments or the law of Moses or a moral law or any other law, you'll go to hell doing that. Because Jesus Christ is the end of the law. And God, and you better thank God for that, because you know what the Bible says? If we offend in one point in the law, we're guilty of it all. I've tried to witness to people, and I say, "Are you saved?" And they say, "Well, I'm trying to keep the commandments." And I say, "Name them to me." You know, if you can't name the commandments, you probably won't be keeping them. But even if you could name me all the commandments, and you could tell me what all... You know what the Bible says? That's not how God's dealing with you. God's not dealing with you with the commandments. God's dealing with you based upon what you're doing with His Son. What are you going to do with Jesus? What have you done with Jesus? You say, I'm trying to be a good person. You'll go to hell being a good person. The Pharisees were better than all of us. I mean, their lives were impeccable on the outside. I'm trying to tell you that Jesus Christ, when He said, it is finished, there is no more keeping the law to impress God. There is no more the deeds of religion to impress God. That's why you can be baptized 1,000 times, and that's not going to get you to God. Jesus' work finished it. And whenever I think I can, listen, if I think I can add to the work of Jesus Christ, it's blasphemy to the sacrifice of the Son of God. Look, if you could go to heaven by coming to church, why did Jesus have to die? He had to finish something you couldn't finish. If you could go to heaven by the good things you do, why did He have to come down here and bear this shame? The truth is that none of us can become acceptable to God by what we do or what we are or keeping some law. He abolished that, and there's no works that are added. And that's one of the reasons we give out this little book. It's done. It's finished. Salvation's finished. You can't finish it. Jesus finished it. You can't do it. Jesus did it. You can't satisfy God. I can't satisfy God. Jesus satisfied God. And we either come and receive the work that He's done on our behalf on the cross, or we will die in our sins. What's finished? It's finished that God doesn't have to be angry with sinners anymore. You remember all that story in the Old Testament, how God wiped out the world with a flood? He was just angry with the world. Many times you read that Old Testament, you know what you see in that Old Testament? You see an angry God, right? He wipes out Sodom and Gomorrah. People dropping dead everywhere in the Old Testament. You say, God's so angry. Why is He so angry? Because of sin. He's holy. He's righteous. And He's angry with the wicked every day, the Bible says in that Old Testament. But when Jesus Christ died on the cross, you know what He did? He appeased God. And it's finished. God doesn't have to be angry with you anymore. Because Jesus finished. He finished that great gulf that was between us and God with our sins. And that would be the last thing I want to tell you this morning. What did He finish? What is it? It is finished. His life? Yes. The work that God gave Him to do? Yes. His suffering? Yes. All the Old Testament sacrifices and the Old Testament law? Yes, He finished that too. But He also finished paying the debt of your sin. The wages of sin is death. And you don't want to pay those. And that's why there's a hell, and that's why there's an eternity where people forever, they're there paying the wages of their sin. And Jesus hung on a cross and said, it is finished. I've paid it all for you. I have done the work of redemption. You know what the work of redemption is? That He paid a price you couldn't pay. He paid a price that you don't have to pay. And no one ever has to pay for their sin because Jesus said, I paid for it. It's finished and I paid it in full. I don't know. I've never got into this layaway program. I don't know if y'all pay stuff on layaway. I can't buy something I can't pay for. Amen. Don't get nervous and I have to preach a different sermon. Amen. People put stuff, you know why they put stuff on credit cards? They're getting debt over their eyebrows because they want things they can't pay for. You know what happens in people's lives as sinners such as we? We run up a big tab with God. We've got this vast list of sins against God. And they're not just sins of the flesh. They're sins of the mind and they're sins of the heart, you see. We've got all these sins that are lined up. And we say, well, it's just debt, you know. Somebody else will deal with the debt. No. God's not like the United States. It didn't just pass it on to the next generation, you see. One day, you're going to have to pay up. And Jesus said, I tell you what, I finished that payment. Jesus paid for every dirty thought you've ever had, every proud stance and proud look you've ever had. He paid for all the sins of of fornication and hatred and bitterness. And you know, whatever your list of sins, I don't know what your list of sins are. All of us have a different list of them. And Jesus said, I hung on this cross to finish the payment that's required for your sin. He finished it. You know, that ought to bring joy to a sinner's heart. I don't have to live in guilt. I can come to the cross and know it's finished. I don't have to live in shame. I can come to the cross and know it's done away with. It's taken care of. The Bible says that we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. And He said much more than He talks about being justified by that blood. He tells us concerning His blood, He says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and that blood of bulls and of goats could never take away sin. But the Bible says Jesus Christ, by His own blood, has obtained eternal redemption for us. He didn't pay for it just for next week and next month. He paid for it forever. God does not let sin into heaven, so how can any of us go? Because Jesus said, it's finished. I paid it for them. You've got a choice. You can accept that payment. You can accept that as the payment for your sin that satisfied God. You can be made nigh by the blood of Christ. You can let that finished payment make peace between you and God. Do you understand that everybody is not at peace with God? Everybody is not together with God. The Bible says we're only made nigh by the blood of Christ. Only the blood of His cross can make peace. Only that finishing payment can bring us back together with a holy God. The Bible says we can enter into the holiest only by that blood of Jesus Christ. You got a choice. You can come to that cross and be brought together back with God and say, you know, Lord, it's nothing I can do. It's what He finished. You ask the modern person today, are you going to go to heaven? And they'll say something like this, well, I'm working on it. No, that's an offense to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He finished it for you. You can't finish it. He paid it for you. You don't want to pay for it in hell. He redeemed you. And He paid it in full. I'm glad He didn't come up to the line and say, okay, I'll pay for Brent's sins all the way up to this point, and that's all I'm paying for. Back to our little layaway. No. Jesus goes to God and says, I'm going to pay the whole kit and caboodle. Amen. I'm going to pay the whole thing. I finished the payment. My blood is sufficient to pay their debt of sin. You're not saved this morning. You're in debt to God. And only Jesus Christ can satisfy that debt. And if you are saved this morning, oh, how much do you owe Him? And if you are saved this morning, how are you going to finish?